Thoughts that go unspoken die unborn. In other words, if I think, I already picked on Janice, so I'll pick on her again. If I have a negative thought about Janice, I think about that. Now, if I think about it long enough, most likely I might say it to myself or say it to somebody else. Whenever I say it, the thought is born. It begins to produce something. Whether I say it to Janice or whether I say it to somebody else, whenever I speak that thought out, that thought is born and it begins to produce. The words begin to produce. If I say something negative, somebody hears it, and they start thinking something negative about Janice. And so the fruit of it comes forth then. But thoughts that go unspoken die unborn. In other words, if a negative thought comes into my mind, I rebuke it right away, and I think Janice is a great lady. I appreciate her. Honor her and so forth. So I don't think that thought in Jesus' name. I put that down. Most likely that thought will disappear and I'll have to deal with it. But if I hang on to it and begin to think about it over and over again, then it'll begin to fester and begin to feed my carnal nature, and I'll begin to say it. Thoughts that go unspoken die unborn. Now, the thing about that is it works both positive and negative. If I... I better stay with Janice here on this. If I say something really nice about Janice, if I think something really nice about Janice, if a thought comes into my head and she's done something that I really appreciate and I think about that and I think about her character and so forth, something really positive, and that comes into my head, and I just leave it there and don't speak it, say it to anybody, then that thought will die unborn as well. I mean, it'll bless me to some degree, and I'll think about how great Janice is, but if I don't tell somebody else, it will never bear the fruit that it could. Thoughts that go unspoken die unborn. So it's so important for us to think positive thoughts and begin to speak them out. Matthew 12:37 says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." In other words, our words are absolutely powerful. The words that we speak out of our mouth create things. They are powerful. And they will, when we speak them out, it seems like there's a spiritual power on them to cause them to have influence on other people. And I guess the best example of that would be in our children. You know, we can raise our children to be a positive kids that believe that they can do anything because of words that we speak into them. But we can also raise them to think that nothing good is ever going to happen to them because they are, you know, we speak that you're no good, you've never been any good, and you talk you talk that way to them. And so those words create things in their own lives that will either propel our kids into their destiny or it will put them down. Words are spoken thoughts. And if our mind is not renewed, we think thoughts that are conformed to this world, and then we speak words that are conformed to this world, which produces actions that are conformed to this world. And we are told not to conform ourselves to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We can choose to think, I can do this, or I cannot do this, or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a choice. Remember the words that are spoken to us? In Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Well, we have lots of thoughts that come into our mind. We have to make a choice of which ones we're going to accept. And if we choose positive thoughts, then we choose life. If we choose negative thoughts, then we choose death. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is hostile against God. Now, isn't that interesting? The carnal mind is hostile against God. So there must be a spiritual mind that is not hostile with God. The carnal mind is hostile with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The carnal mind talked about in Romans 8:7, it does not mean the mind, the matter itself, the intellect or the will. It does not suppose that the mind or the soul is really carnal enmity with God or hatred toward God or hostile toward God. It's something that's deeper than that. It means the minding of the things of the flesh. It means that when we set this gray matter on things of the world, on things of being conformed to this world, it means that that's all we ever think about. I'll tell you one thing, folks, that one of the biggest hindrances to growing in peace and grace and joy in the Holy Spirit is always thinking about ourselves. What's in it for me? How am I going to get ahead? What things do I need? That is one of the greatest hindrances of enjoying the life the way God has for us. One of the greatest ways to enjoy life is to be thinking about somebody else. How you can bless somebody else. How what you do blesses someone else. I tell you, you'd do good if you sat down every morning and wrote something out about how you could bless somebody that day. Then went to work carrying it out. I believe that would change your life. If you literally, but Pastor, I'm so consumed with the things of life. I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to work here, got to work there. How could I possibly take the time to do that? If you'll take the time to do that, I'm convinced you'll change your life. You really will. Jesus said, it is better to give than to receive. If you've set your mind on things of the kingdom of God, Jesus said, I have not come to be served, but to serve. I believe Jesus lived life in a joyous way. I believe, actually, he lived the life, the best Christian life that anybody could ever live. And he was joyful. The Bible talks about Jesus expressing joy numerous times. I'm convinced that he was a happy person. He really was. Why? Because he was the dead center of the will of God. He said, I always do what pleases the Father. I'm sure he didn't get up every morning thinking about what my needs are. He was thinking about somebody else. Wow, Pastor, amen. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Says that we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Casting down arguments, you can have arguments going on in your mind sometimes on which way to go, which way to think about people. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So therefore, we bring our thoughts, if they don't agree with Christ and his kingdom, we are to take those thoughts captive and cast them down in the name of Jesus Christ. Now listen, if our thought right now is this, oh, Pastor, I know what you're saying is true. I know what you're saying is true. But you know, I just have this in my mind. I'm a worrier. And I'd like to think that way, but I just can't. Those are the thoughts that you cast down. Those are the thoughts that you declare. You begin thinking, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You don't allow yourself to think that way, and especially not to say it. You cast that down. That's the way you pull down strongholds. Strongholds in our minds that have been conformed to this world. Actually, verse 4 actually says that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. We pull down these strongholds by taking captive the thoughts that go through our mind. And I just tell you the way I do it. A lot of times if negative thoughts come into my mind, I have to get into the Word of God. I have to. In fact, what I do a lot of times, I've mentioned a number of times, I have a long confession of faith that I have for myself. I will take that and I will just walk around and continue to say that, make that confession of faith over and over and over again. And I can't tell you how many times that I went into that confession with my thinking stinking and came out refreshed. Came out thinking something altogether different. Came out rejoicing in God. And realizing the goodness that God has for me. Wow. Your confession of faith can actually change your life. I hope you have one. that you know where to run to. You got to have something that you know how to where to run to. If you say, well, you know, if that happens to me, yeah, I'll find something and I'll do that. I'll take the word of God. Have a plan. Set it down. Have a confession of faith that you can run to. I'm not telling you something that you should do but doesn't do anything for me. I'm telling you, over 30 years I've been doing this thing. This confession of faith that I run to when trials and tribulation comes my way and I start thinking down thoughts and wondering if something is going to change. I need to run to my confession of faith. I need to run down the path that I'm used to going on. Because if I don't have that path already there, I'll get lost on the way. But if I've set down a path to run to in the good times, I'll see it just clear and run there as quick as I can. So prepare the way of the Lord. Aberesite la sotuka sonda barasende, babokosinde kasata la mandasite, o shoto lo bakosinde barasinde, pahosinde la sanda la mondoshete, la babasete site kokoson bababasete, le barasindo sondo kosinde la mandasondo kosite la babasata. For there are those who would make much of my word, for they realize the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But so often those same people will take my word, but think thoughts that do not go along with the kingdom of God. The thoughts that would be conformed to this world do not line up with the word of God, and one has to make a choice. Will I believe the word of God, or will my mind be conformed to this world? Know this, that I have given you the strength to stand against the world, to stand against the mind and thinking of the world. For the mind of Christ is far above the mind of this age. For this age would lead you down a path of destruction, but the mind of Christ will lead you into grace and truth and love in the Holy Spirit. For it is my spirit that works within you to think God thoughts, to think thoughts of the kingdom of God, so that you will be refreshed in the days ahead. For the day is coming, says the Lord, that the refreshment that comes from you will begin to soak the very ground that you walk on, and others will be able to get from you the word of life, will be able to receive from you the thought or the God kind of life, so that Jesus Christ will have a kingdom that is advancing in the sphere of authority that I have given you. For you see, the kingdom of God will advance, because I have set my word toward that. Now you have the opportunity to cause the kingdom of God to advance within your sphere of influence. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Wow, God's given us the opportunity. He's given us an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God within your sphere of influence. Now, that's what I said in tongues. We taught about gifts all summer long, gifts of the Spirit. I don't know if I thought about gifts of tongues or not. Tongues and interpretation that come from God. Just kind of well up within you. Take hold of that. You have an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God within your sphere of influence. You have the opportunity to think God's thoughts. Let me read this scripture very quickly and we'll close. Isaiah 55. Excuse me. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Ola barasinde. Glory to God. God, you deserve, Father, your word to be spoken and truth. Isaiah 55, verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Sometimes we need to read scriptures like that just to realize that the life that we live in, even the environment that we live in, is a spiritual environment. That I believe that these scriptures, the trees will clap their hands. I just believe that if the Word of God says that, that somehow the trees can clap their hands. The trees can make a noise of somehow that would cause us to think that they're clapping their hands. Verse 13, instead of the thorn bush shall come the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Thus says the Lord God, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Now, we started off in verse 8. It says that my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. Now, he did not say you cannot think my thoughts. He did not say that you cannot understand my ways. Now, he goes on in the last verse we read, thus saith the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness will be revealed. Now think about this. This prophetic word was spoken to a people who would have no understanding about Jesus coming as a lamb that was to be slain. They would have no understanding about the King of glory coming to be sacrificed for our sins. They did. In fact, when he came, those same people crucified him. So they didn't believe that he was the King of glory. But notice this now again. For my salvation is about to come and my righteousness about to be revealed. In other words, he's saying, I'm about to show you my righteousness. And he showed us his righteousness by sending Jesus Christ to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who had no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So God revealed to us righteousness in Christ that the people of Israel's day, in Isaiah's day, could not comprehend. They could not think his thoughts. His thoughts were at that time was, I'm going to send a suffering Savior to the world, and they're going to sacrifice him, and his precious blood is going to wipe away the sins of my people. They couldn't think those thoughts then. They had no grid to be able to think those thoughts. But you and I now can think those thoughts. Those are God's thoughts. You and I can think that way because they've been revealed to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We know and understand that Jesus came, that he had to come, and die on the cross for our sins so that we could make it to heaven one day. We understand those are God's thoughts. So you see, even when the prophet Isaiah was writing this, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, even then he was thinking about us and saying, you can't understand and you can't think the way God thinks. You and I have that capability because God lives on the inside of us. We can think God thoughts. Do you know that you being saved and understand that you're washed by the blood of Jesus, that's a God thought? That came from God. And if you can think that thought, you can also think, God has a good future for me. God has a destiny for me, a powerful destiny and an effective destiny for me. I have a wonderful, wonderful heritage. I serve a good God, and I have an awesome future. See, those are God thoughts. I can love a person that in the natural, I want to hate them. But God thoughts can change that around, where you'll begin to love them the way God loves you. Those are God thoughts, and you say, well, I've come from a line of poor folk. They've always been poor. You know, as far as generations back, they've been poor. Well, those are not God thoughts. You can change that around and look at the Word of God and say, my God meets all my needs according to his riches in glory. So I have a God thought that all my needs are met. I'm not going to live like past generations. I'm going to live like future generations. God is bringing in me into prosperity. He said, I pray that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's a God thought.